Snow outside, scrapers in the back seat, need the heavy jacket? That means it's time for high school hockey.
The Hornets in convincing fashion. Your 2014 State High School Hockey Championships back-to-back.
Now, here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket's Hockey Podcast with Tom Schreier and Danny Ryan, featuring Minnesota high school hockey talk for hardcore hockey fans.
Welcome to 105 The Ticket's High School Hockey Podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Tom Schreier. He's Danny Ryan. We've got a great show for you today. With us today to break down the state tournament is Carl East, a moderator from the High School Hockey Forum. Carl, do you want to reveal your name and perhaps pronounce it correctly, as I did maybe wrong the first time here?
My name's Carl Scheffler.
Yeah, I may have sworn for the first time on this podcast, which I'm surprised.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, actually.
Danny may have sworn and said completely inappropriate things, but again, our good audience did not hear these.
That was
these
maybe edited it out.
Yeah, thank God. We're not regulated by the FCC, but I feel like Cumulus would not be happy with us.
Oh, God.
Anyways, we're here not to talk about swear words or inappropriate things, but the state hockey tournament, where we did hear some swearing, hear some chants that were quite creative.
Yes.
But what did you think, Carl, just of the kind of atmosphere in general, the teams that were in it? What was your impression here?
I think this was one of the best tournaments I've ever seen. The atmosphere was through the roof. It was, you know, breaking attendance records nearly every session. At some classic games, one of the biggest upsets you'll ever see. So it was just a phenomenal tournament, really.
Danny, I mean, I got a lot of heat from both you and Fran. Big shout out to Fran and Julie, who work at the XL Energy Center, for not being at the last two games on Friday. But what did I miss there with and anyone else who is watching on 45?
Well, you missed 21,600 plus.
I like how you know that number off the head.
I think it's 21,609, I want to say, but it was just nuts. That was one of the best atmospheres I've seen at the state tournament so far. It's great when you have both 207, Lakeville North, Eden Prairie, Duluth East, and everybody else in the stands chirping at Edina. That was awesome. It was just a fun place to be.
And when the clock was running down there and everyone in the arena standing up and applauding East at the end there, it's as loud as it'll ever get in there.
It's special, to say the least.
What do you guys think? I mean, obviously, everyone kind of was anticipating this final between Lakeville North and Edina. You know, Duluth East, which you are an alum of this school, comes in and ruins that. Thanks for ruining everything. Thanks for ruining our team.
Hurt our feelings, but I guess we'll move on, too.
But what do you think of this pool? I mean, it seemed like every team, at least in Class AA, was an intriguing, they offered something of intrigue to the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the best fields that we've had in a long time. And 2012 maybe competes, but otherwise, you know, with seven top seeds, all ranked in the top 10, then this Duluth East team that comes in out of nowhere, wins four straight upset games.
Thanks, Duluth East.
Yeah, but I think with the 2012 tournament, it was the first tournament that all seeded teams, the higher seeded teams, lost.
Right,
and so we ended up not getting the tournament that we wanted. Mm-hmm. With this one, even with the St. Thomas upset, I still think we got a great tournament and a tournament that actually people wanted to see. And it proved that with the attendance. Mm-hmm.
Class A even had some intrigue as well. I mean, Montemita definitely brought a big crowd. East Grand Forks, Hermantown in that final. Obviously, two diehard fan bases coming a long ways to come down. I mean, in general, with that one, it's not eight deep like the AA tournament was, but I felt like it was kind of the teams you wanted at the end.
Yeah, and even with Section 3A, the past 2 years, they've at least given the other teams a game. They're coming along, and that's great to see that.
Yeah, I did win some money from work and an upset on that one. I picked that Laverne was not going to come out of that one because of the loss that they had in New Ulm in the season, and it proved to be the case. But even New Ulm didn't look that bad in that game.
Yeah, as a three seed in 3A, which is a great sign.
Yeah, and so that shows that the southwest portion of the state is actually improving. So that's it's good for the tournament and it's good for the state.
So I'm going to channel my inner Bruce Plant and say, who should be up in AA? Is Montemita belong there? Does East Grand Forks belong in there? What's going on here?
Well, as the State High School League proved last night, that they do not, Montemita doesn't belong there, but they moved some other teams up, which we'll probably talk about at the end of the show.
Yeah, but no, I don't think there's anyone in Class A right now who you can say has to be up in AA.
I would argue that Hermantown should be, but they don't have to be.
Certainly, if I were a Hermantown person, I would want to be in AA with how they've been playing for the past 7 years or so, but at the same time, they still haven't won it.
Yeah, I think since 2007, you can make a firm argument that Hermantown could be in 2A and make it to the tournament and beat those East teams.
Yeah, and I think as someone was telling me last night, you know, they've been the best team in A for the past 6 or 7 years. They just haven't been the best team in any one year.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
We'll get to Lakeville North. What they did, obviously, was incredible. But Duluth East upsetting the St. Thomas Cadets. Danny,
I'm upset. Yeah, that's a good way to put
it. Yeah, keep it FCC approved. but no, I mean, obviously, the big upset there, and then what they did do, Dinah, and just, I mean, what was your impression of this team coming into this tournament? I mean, I think I pronounced them dead halfway through the season, and Danny's like, they're not dead yet. This is a team that's not a spoiler. They're going to come back, and they're going to. I mean, I think even then you thought they might be part of this tournament.
Yeah, and I think when you look at a program like Duluth East, they're independent. They travel all over the place. And it's never an upset when you when they win, really. That's the thing with them is they're a proud program. And so it's hard, you know, being a team that got upset by them. But, I mean, the Duluth East really hit their stride once they switched over to the 2-3 zone play. And in the Elk River game kind of late in the season, the 1-1 time in Elk really promoted them and gave them a lot of confidence because the team in the beginning of the season was not the team that ended the season.
Right. And, you know, I think the thing with this team, the talent was there all along. You know, most people had them, you know, top 10, borderline top 10 at the start of the season. So it was there. And then, you know, came out, the defense played very poorly. And so they had to make a lot of changes to the system to make sure to cover for all those defensive errors. But you know, once they got there, you could see that, you know, something could happen here. And I was at that game in Elk River when, you know, they probably outplayed Elk River for a majority of that game and realized, you know, if they hit their stride here, they have a chance to do something special, and they really did.
Yeah, exactly. And the nice part about them is you could always turn to their goaltending as being somewhat of a solid point of their team, that Gunnar Hoge, you knew, was a netminder that could win some games for them, and it proved that down the stretch. So.
All right, well, before we get to the games, real quick, there's this hockey hair video. I don't know if anyone's seen it. But something like this to go national, where people outside of Minnesota know about the high school hockey hair that these guys rock. I mean, how special is this video, and how integral is it to the tournament as a whole?
I think it gives a new level of the introductions were always fun with, like, sort of corny things like saying hi to mom and dad. But now the introductions are some even better than the games in some points. And so, yeah, this is just – it's crazy. I find them hilarious. I think they're just a great part to end the season on a high note, too.
And Luke Sepper had the intro to end all intros.
Oh,
when
he's
getting up there.
just flaunting it. He just had it, and he knew what he was going to do, and it was just the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm. So two questions. Sepper, keep that hair, or do you think he's shaving that off right now?
I think you can donate that to Locks of Love and give them
some lucky kid. Yeah.
I think you bask in it for a little while here.
Oh, yeah. You can't go back to school on Monday without the flow. You got to still have the flow.
Secondly, Cold Omaha wants the Danny Ryan. Carl, we want you guys to rock the hair. Are you guys going to do it next year? Just scrub it up in the press box?
I mean, I don't get good hockey hair. I just kind of get my hair kind of grows into like a fro. I mean, I would be on the beard side of the hockey hair.
Yes, you would. I think you need hockey beard.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, all season long. Oh, all season long. Yeah, they won't let you in the rinks at the end of the season.
They won't know who I am. So we don't necessarily need that. That's a special play. Being a pretty Italian, I can grow a good beard.
Carl, what are you doing? Are you going to grow some nose hairs?
It's been a few years since I had the flow going, but who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. On to the games, of course. Class AA quarterfinals, St. Thomas versus Duluth East. Danny, keep it FCC kosher.
Again,
here.
I'll try.
Can't rub it in too much.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a game. Even talking to some Duluth East people, I said, you know, that's one hell of a team. I saw them play Blaine, obviously, when I met you, Carl, and that was a similar game where I thought Blaine had put it away in the first period. They're up 3-0. I even told Danny, I was like, I don't live too far from Blaine, or my parents don't. And I was like, I might just go home, kind of do some other stuff, obviously. And you're like, stick around, because that's what Duluth East does. It seems like they're a 500 team that made the tournament, and a 3-goal lead is not safe against this team. I mean, what were your impressions of a game that kind of was topsy-turvy? You saw, you know, it go back and forth.
Well, I definitely think that St. Thomas was looking forward. I talked to some of the St. Thomas players after the game and a couple days later, and they said, yeah, we're looking forward to Edina, and because we didn't get the chance to play them in Schwann's Cup, and this is something that we're looking forward to. There's a couple Edina kids on the St. Thomas team, and both goaltenders are Edina kids, and so it's something that we're looking forward to. And the thing is, when you're not as motivated as somebody else in a single elimination tournament, especially against a well-coached squad like Duluth East is, you're in a bad shape. And so I definitely think the Cadets let that one slip through their fingers.
Yeah, and if you look back at that game, you know, first period, St. Thomas goes up 3-0 early, but they weren't really dominating the play. East shot them 2-1 in that first period.
Yeah, very much so, too. So
iced it twice before they scored, right?
Yeah. And then, so you could tell, I think East knew they were playing well, and they weren't getting the bounces. You know, they had a couple turnovers. St. Thomas capitalized, but that's what it was.
Yeah. It felt like Hermantown games when we had played them before, where Hermantown was outplaying us, but we were sneaking ahead. And so you definitely did not have a good feeling after the first period if you're a cadet. Yeah. But after the second period, I thought...
Second period were great.
The St. Thomas squad definitely stood on their heads and really just went nuts. But
That was the one period in the entire tournament where someone really broke through the system. You tell the Vanellis they made an adjustment. They know how to get past that 2-3, but for whatever reason, the third period...
And it didn't stick around. Yeah. And I think if this was a football game, you know, only two halves, St. Thomas would have won. But you got to play three periods, and they definitely did not in this game.
And once East got that first one, you know, you could see that hunger building. And
you could see that momentum. That stone was not going to catch any moss on the way down. So, But like I was telling another St. Thomas guy at an establishment close to the XL Energy Center with a beverage that was not water in my hand.
Easy.
And I said, but there's no place I'd rather be right now than here, you know, at the X, you know, just enjoying it, soaking it all in. Even though we lost, it's still the best place to be.
It was great to see that cadet student section in a double-A game. They were great. East was great. There was great atmosphere. Between both student sections in that game.
Exactly.
What the play should be.
Two things went St. Thomas's way early. Two East players collided. Obviously, the player finishes on the other end. And then one of St. Thomas's defensemen throws in front. And they were lucky not to have a goal scored there. I mean, I feel like, as to what you were saying, Duluth could feel confident throughout that game, not only because of their track record and what they've done in the past, but just that two things like that can happen in a game. And a well-coached team like Mike Randolph's teams can overcome that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I think with Randolph's teams, he's never going to let them know that they're out of the game. I think that's the thing with having a good coach behind the bench is he knows how to get his kids motivated. Yeah,
the line he's used to just deny losing. He just keeps pushing that. And
that's a great way to put it. Yeah. That's what you need to have that thought, especially in the tournament.
Was this one of the best coaching matchups? Obviously, the Vanellis have done great wonders with St. Thomas, and Randolph, it just seems like there's some genius to him. I mean, there has to be for him to get this far.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely a chess match, to say the least. Like Carl said, St. Thomas figured them out in the second period, but couldn't figure them out in the third. So I think that's a great way to put it. It's one of the best coaching matchups we saw in this tournament.
The coaching matchups all through this tournament were great.
Yeah, that's true. Very good. We saw great coaches in the tournament. The Vanellis, Randolph, Lechner, Giles.
Lee Smith had this Eden Prairie team playing better than I thought they'd ever.
Yeah, exactly. That's true, too.
They had Lakeville North on the ropes.
True.
All right, finally, the Class A semifinal. I told you, this is one of my favorite games, actually. Montemita at East Grand Forks, very physical, very talented.
Yeah.
Montemita definitely represented. They were, you know, they filled up the arena. East Grand Forks, small but vocal crowd. I mean, it seemed like a great atmosphere and obviously a very fun game.
I think with this game, I was definitely thinking if this one would have been a little bit closer, that whoever would have won the game would have been in big trouble playing Hermantown because they would have spent too much energy. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminded me of the St. Thomas Academy Duluth Marshall game in 2007 where that game went into double overtime and Duluth Marshall just did not have the energy to get up and play
Hermantown.
That only had – they didn't even have a loss that season. They had one tie, I want to say. So it reminded me of that game a lot, but definitely a fun atmosphere for that one.
Yeah, and East Grand bringing that physical game, it just really upped the stakes. It got everyone really into it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That the Tanner Tweedham, Lovin, and Bowen line was very on fire in that game.
I felt like Montemita had to match it, right? Their physicality.
It's hard.
And they were trying, but as Coach Poschel was saying after the game, you know, that's not their game, and they just couldn't match with that.
No, they're a speedy team. Yeah. They come from, you know, St. Thomas Academy and Hill Murray's conference. This is a speed team and talented team, not a grinding team by trades.
And they got worn down, obviously, by the end there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Finally, going back to Class AA, Edina versus Duluth East, this might be the one to remember, right? The defending champions versus a 500 team kind of on a roll.
It's like I was texting people during this game. It was epic. And if there was a team that could bring down Edina, it had to be Duluth East. This was the team that broke Jefferson's dynasty. This is their giant slayers. I mean, this was awesome to see. I mean, this game from start to finish was, you know, just a great game. I think the difference maker, though, was Edina without Dylan Malmquist. This was really like when Woro lost Boucher in the tournament. They lost their key player who's probably going to win Mr. Hockey today. And so without him, that really put a lot of stress on their lines. And it messed with their chemistry, and I think that was a big difference maker in this game.
Yeah, a great line, you know, someone mentioned this to me in the press box, was that, you know, you can't tell the Edina individuals apart tonight. You know, you know, looking at them, you know, where's weight, where's mismatch? You know, you can't see them because no one was standing out. The UC system just bottled the ball up, and there's no room for that.
Somebody was texting me that this is the first year that a player like Casey Dornbach, he's won state every year his whole life, from squirts to peewees to bantam to last year. He's won state. And so, he didn't stand out to me at all in that game because they were just bottled up so much in that whole game. And so, hats off to East. This was just the best game that I've seen in the tournament in a long time.
And I was surprised, too, that the game was so even. You know, usually when you get an upset of this magnitude, it's a goalie hanging on, making 40 saves. But this wasn't like that.
No, this was this was not even close to like something that – it was just too – it was a heavyweight battle. It was just a slugfest. It wasn't, you know, somebody just standing on their head the whole time. I'm picturing like Rochester Century in like the late 2000s when they stood on – you know, Kangas stood on his head. But I it was not one of those types of games. They really stuck with them. And the fun part was the crowd was into it the whole day and the whole game.
Talking about that crowd, that might have been the highlight of Lakeville North Eden Prairie game. Obviously a close game, probably more contested than the final score shows. But as Danny reminded me many, many times, this was probably one of the
best. Shake your booty!
Yeah, one of the best choreographed crowd moments in the game.
I think if you look at the best cheers this year, that one where they did Shake Your Booty and then 207 told Eden Prairie to do an expletive.
Easy. FCC.
And so then, but then one of the other ones that I heard was in the Bemidji St. Thomas Academy consolation game, instead of saying start the buses, they said start the chainsaws because they're the Lumberjacks and that one's classic. So yeah, but it was awesome having 207 back and everything. That when they're lively and in the action, it's one of the best tournaments ever.
It just gets everyone going when you have them up there.
Oh, yeah. And the funny part is, like, these kids, it's from all over the state. They're not from one school. This is a rogue student section that's going at, like, whoever they want.
Well, and what does that say about high school hockey, that people who don't have an investment in it in the sense that their friends are playing in the tournament come out to support not only that but are among the most vocal people and obviously a big player in the crowd?
I think that's one of the best parts of the tournament.
It's such a huge tradition.
Yeah, that's the tradition of the tournament is you got to come down to see it even if you're not in it. I mean, I saw Albert Lee sweaters. I saw everybody. I saw War Road. I saw Thief. I saw everybody down here that even if they weren't in the tournament, they make the pilgrimage to the tournament.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is to go down out of the press box for a couple periods every year, just wander around the concourse, see all the different, you know, sweaters you see, everything you see. It's just,
because you can literally count every school and every program around
the state. Sometimes.
And that's a big drive. Yeah. I mean, especially if your team's not in it.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's really the state of hockey. It stereotypifies that because that's what it is. That's what the tournament is, the best part of the state of hockey.
And, you know, over the past couple of years, you've heard these rumors, you know, the state tournament isn't what it used to be. And I think this year was just an obvious.
Oh, that proved it wrong.
21,000, I think that's
yeah, 21,000 for one session, that proved it wrong. I mean, that's how many – I think that's a couple thousand more than what the Wild has had.
I think it's 18,300 seated. So, I mean, you have like 3,000 people
standing
around.
It's about 2,000 more than the record in 2008.
Yeah, and that was Rozo, Hill Murray.
Yeah, and Edina.
And
that,
yeah.
The Fab Five team, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's just crazy that it was that much more sold out this year.
Mm-hmm. Class A final, Hermantown, East Grand Forks, some big storylines there, but did you feel like it was a letdown after kind of that semifinal? I didn't really know what to make of that game.
I thought the first three periods minus the 30 seconds was like, okay, East Grand Forks is going to cruise and Hermantown's just going to let this one slip through their fingers.
Again.
But then they got that first one, called that timeout, and the plant must have got them ready to go and just told them it's our time, and they got got that another one in 15 seconds, and I was just – I was going nuts up in the press box.
Yeah, you thought this was finally Hermantown's year. Okay, no.
Yeah.
Finally going to end. This is over.
And then it didn't happen. And so it's funny. It's like I don't know what – how can Hermantown lose again in a more dramatic fashion? I just – they do it every year where it's like – and every time they lose in the final, it's a dramatic game. Even the first one, the Breck one, they were – like tied in that game to like a minute left in the game, I want to say. I remember being there. It's just sad.
This one, a couple overtime one, the one with the Tommy Novak scored after.
Yeah, the Tommy
the penalty,
Novak.
And then the non-call on
Zlesnikar. On Zlesnikar. Yeah, I mean, they have a couple that are just absolute heartbreakers. And so if you're a Hermantown fan, I don't know if the sun's ever coming out again. It's not very fun right now.
To be fair to the team that beat them, I feel like East Grand Forks outplayed them for most of the game. Even in overtime, we felt like they might kind of come out firing, and they did. For a team like that, two-time defending champs.
With the
talent that they have. I mean, hats off to what they did this year, right?
Yeah, and I think I was telling you, Carl, during the intermissions, I was like, the matchup in that game was definitely the Pionk, Amund, Koepke line versus the Lovin, Tweeden, Bowen line, because both other lines kind of matched up well, and you really wanted to see what the slugfest would be, and East Grand Forks, and then they delivered. In the end, that's what delivered them the tournament, is Tweeden's goal.
And I think the difference between those two lines was size.
I think
East Grand Forks players had that extra physicality, extra push, and that was...
Yeah, and it's not like Hermantown doesn't come with physicality. Hermantown is a physical team, and they always have been under plans, and they have skill as well. But the size of Tweeden and the size of Love, they really wear on you, too.
Mm-hmm. And this East Grand Forks team these past 2 years has been one of my favorites to watch. I
mean, exactly.
This is what Classic A hockey should be, you know, great physical team coming down from the north. Just
That's what you want. Yeah. That's why we love seeing those teams. War Road is so much fun to be down there. When they play their war chant and then they, like, lay some kids out, that's the best thing ever. But it's true.
Danny, I have likes it on the my violent phone. Teenagers.
Okay, maybe we'll edit that portion out.
I'm going to give a shout-out to one of the Hermantown players, too. Wyatt Amott had a fantastic tournament. I'm not sure he left the ice for the last 5 minutes of third period there.
No, and he was on fire.
The third goal, which made it a one-goal game. Yeah,
yeah. If you're going to talk about a player that put a team on his back, he really wanted to win. And you can just – I mean, let's put it this way. They had been in second place now since these kids were in seventh grade. I mean, that's how long ago this is. This is a hard pill to swallow if you're them.
Finally, the Class A or AA final, Duluth East versus Lakeville North. People wanted that Edina final, but I think this was interesting. I mean, it's a 500 team that seemed like a team of destiny versus a team that could go undefeated, and now there's this discussion where they stand among the best teams in the state of hockey.
Yeah, I think if you look at this Lakeville North team, they already have 6 D1 players. And you know that Sepper is going to be committed somewhere because of his size. Ennebeck's going to go somewhere. Max Johnson's a phenomenal player. And Altavella, he's playing baseball.
Right,
so,
but he's good enough. Yeah.
But he's good enough to play hockey. So it's not like this is one of the best teams in my mind that I think I'll ever see. Mm-hmm. This is compares to, in recent years, the Roseau 2018.
Yeah, it's very hard to compare across eras, especially in time when players leave early, but this Lakeville North team, I'd be willing to say it's the best since the Jefferson teams in the 90s.
I think so too, because just when you look at Jefferson and that team, it wasn't that their first line went all D1, it was that their second line went all D1, and all their defensemen went D1, except for, I think, one player. So, and that's what this team is for Lakeville North. Their top line is D1 already, and so I think they compare, but like you said, it's hard to compare cross-generational just because. And I think the thing with the Jefferson team, too, I would give the advantage maybe to Satterdahlm as a coach.
Right,
and that team blew out teams, too, where this Lakeville team kept teams close kind of throughout the season, where Jefferson just asserted their will, and they did from the year before.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts on the tournament before we get to the sections?
This was one of my more favorite tournaments, just with the teams that were playing, the upsets that happened. This really had the feel of 2007, 2006 with the Grand Rapids teams led by Pat White, Joe Stayschool, and Ryder Jensen. I really felt like that through the tournament with Duluth East performance, and it was just fun to watch. Even though my team did not do so well. I can still say it was a good tournament.
Yeah, and I think Blue Thief's run this year, it sets a brilliant example for everyone of what a team can do when they believe in what they're doing, when they have the right system, when they go for it. I mean, this team, they didn't have a 30-point scorer.
Oh, yeah. They didn't even have, like, I think Ash, not Ash, Nick only had 15 goals coming into the final mm-hmm. game. And yeah. so it really says what a team that works together at the end of the season, anything can happen.
Yeah, to be fair to St. Thomas, I think they had a good year. They got in, obviously ran into kind of a team of destiny. And Edina,
there's a cadet right there.
and I think with Edina, it's a that's a team I wanted to see play Lakeville North. I think they maybe could have won that game. I mean, I think it's one of those things. Some people are going to say, well, what's Duluth East doing here shaking all this up? Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, that's how the tournament's supposed to be. I mean, there is some kind of mystery around it of who could have done what, you know, in a seven-game series or something like that. But that's kind of the fun aspect of it. Like I said, yeah. I think seven of those eight teams in Class AA really could have gone on a run and made something happen.
And the thing about Lakeville North is they beat Edina. It's not a year yeah. that, you know, it's a great unknown. No, they beat Edina with Malmquist in the season. So it's not like we can go, oh, well, they might have been the champs. No, they mm-hmm. were. They were. Yeah. They beat everybody.
There's no argument.
There's no argument in my book. They're unanimous mm-hmm. champs.
All right, finally, let's talk about these new sections. What kind of got shook up here?
Well, everything got shook up, it looks like. So it looks like I'm looking at the Section 2. And so Section 2 got broken up a lot. Now Eden Prairie's in this one, Holy Family, and the Chaska Chan.
Yeah, Minnetonka's there too. Yeah.
Tonka and Prior Lake. So this is kind of more geographically, but it's a different geographic than we've normally seen. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how I feel about this one yet.
Yeah, it's tough to read because it's, you know, it's in some ways it broke up Section 6, which was so low yeah. at the same time. It's just some very odd combinations. And then three of the teams in this section right now are co-ops with small teams, a couple of them outstate, you know.
Yeah, and so
we'll see if that lasts.
Yeah, we'll see if the co-ops of Marshall and Le Sueur, if they last in this section, because it's a weird place for them. And you know that they're not going to go anywhere in this section just mm-hmm. by the powerhouses that are in it. I look at Section 3, which now has Jefferson and Burnsville, and losing Woodbury out of that section, keeping St. Thomas and losing Creighton, mm-hmm. which is, I just think this is weird. I think there has to be some sort of gerrymandering going on, and there's something in the water because Jefferson, in my book, should not be in this section.
Yeah, that makes very little sense geographically.
Little sense geographically. They should be in what is now Section 6, which is then St. Louis Park, Hopkins, Edina.
And Creighton.
And Creighton, which is a weird fit, yeah. and Minnehaha, which is a weird fit too. Because Minnehaha is going from 2A to now 6AA, which is a weird sort of geographical flip-flop. So I think next year we're in luck. We're going to see some new rivalries, some new teams in state, because what we saw this year cannot happen again.
Yeah,
they had to switch this up, right? Because like 1, 2, 3, basically, we kind of knew who was coming out of those
yeah.
sections.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a must-do. Do you think that they improved it, or do you think it's just different?
It was a must-do with how Section 2 was in the last 6 years or mm-hmm. so with Edina.
Every
year. They needed somebody to challenge them, so we just don't get Edina every year in the tournament.
And now Edina's in 6. It's basically them and YZ and Vanilled. So,
which is what Edina used to be in, really, too. And then I think also if you look at what was I going to say? The other – like 2 got broken up, and 6, the powerhouse of 6, six used to be the Southeastern Conference of like college yeah. football, of high school hockey. And so it's good that we can see more teams come from that area around the Lake Conference. And so I think that's good, but also it might be a more boring tournament. I'm going to throw that out going forward just because I don't need to see Minnetonka or Eden Prairie Edina in the tournament every year, because they already play 3 times in the season.
Yeah, it's going to take some getting used to. It may end up being better for competitive balance, but we'll see.
I think this brings competitive balance, but geographically it leaves some question marks in
for
my
sure.
head.
Yeah. Does it mess with any rivalries? Is it going to kind of take down the playoffs in a little bit of a notch?
Yeah, I think it does. It definitely messes with rivalries, because the Edina-Eden Prairie rivalry mm-hmm. was a good rivalry recent. And the Tonka, Edina, yeah. and Tonka, Wayzata is no longer there. And I think if you're a Tonka and Wayzata, you're a little bit upset at that.
Yeah.
Maybe they're preventing fights. Maybe that's what this is for.
Honestly, there may be some truth to that. Any final thoughts? I mean, obviously a good tournament, kind of a fun season. There was a lot of, although we talk about some sections being kind of locked up early, there was some section battles. I mean, what are your final impressions just on the year as a whole?
I think going through the year, it was really two teams that could win state. And the team that we all thought was going to win state won state, but they won it in the way that we can really tip our hats to them, give a lot of respect to them and how they did it.
A perfect season is a special thing. You know, maybe a long time before we see it again. It's been 20 years since we see one before. So
It's like a Red Sox sort of thing. It takes a while, but when it happens, it might happen in streaks. So who knows?
Any final thoughts?
I'm going to miss it. And, you know, it's going to be a long off season till November.
60 days till back this again.
What is on the forum in the offseason?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we should probably address what Carl does a little bit.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So what is on the – first of all, do you think everyone's just crazy in Minnesota and just crabby at each other? It's the fight – I call this the fight club. This is the fight club, the forum. I do not enter the fight club. I'll get my ass kicked. So I think – I mean, first of all, throughout the season, I mean, do you think, like, parents are nuts? Do you find people crazy? Or do you think that – like, has this – removed any hope for humanity after doing this? I mean, what's going on?
It has
with
its
that?
Moments for sure where you start to wonder about the future of everything.
The private school trash stocks. That one went on for a while.
Yeah, well, that's just where we put everything to hide it all, because otherwise it's covering every thread. It's just driving me insane. But
yes. But I mean, like, the forum is great for both, I think. Students, I know students are on it and parents are on it, and it's a good way to get a like kind of a base knowledge of what's going on around the state, and that's what's nice about it right now.
And it can be crazy sometimes, but for the most part, it's a lot of fun, and you get know some people through it, you know.
Well, and we have a good moderator, we can say that. He locks our threads so. When
we're talking about the other one, not Carl.
Is definitely Lee in this scenario. Definitely Lee and Mitch. I do not know anyone better. But, yeah, so, I mean, as long as we can keep the forum going, I think that keeps the state of hockey going, too. Mm-hmm.
And it's a great grassroots thing, too, you know, because anyone can jump on there. You know, I started on there when I was a high school student, so.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, we know that the Grand Rapids guys are on the forum, and they're around the same age as us. And so it's fun. It's a good way to keep the youth involved with the state.
Keep those fan bases going for generations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you find it generally positive, or are you just ruining humanity here?
I think it's a good thing. I mean, I have it on my phone as, like, one of my first things that I click on.
I'm well aware.
I check it during lunch every day at work. I mean, it's something that I have to check, and I think it's great. It's a good way for like people to get like a good fan base going, but it also can be bad when people are promoting their kids too much and stuff, and then it's just like, dude, tone it down a notch. We know who you are. And we don't need to – we know who your kid is.
Anyone who thinks they need to go on a discussion forum to talk up their kid, I mean, they don't know anything about how scouting works.
But. Yeah, I know. It's like, do you think the scouts are going on the forum like, oh, wow.
Now I have to go see it.
I have to see this kid. No. We know who your kid is sort of thing. So that kind of gets old, but that has been kind of limited, I would say, more this year.
Yeah, and it comes and goes.
Yeah, it comes in streaks, and so that's not bad.
So, what do you do in the off season? I mean, does the traffic die down? What is kind of the MO, I guess?
Well, there's always something, you know. I mean, I'm sure people be complaining about the sections for the next month or so. You know, you have, you know, advanced camps, elite leagues, those kind of fall stuff.
I definitely think that Section 3A will keep going. The new thread has to start probably today of 3A, 15, 16.
The Laverne's fans will never quit.
So, oh, yeah. God, they're all over. Laverne is all over the forum.
What is the general consensus? Because you obviously have parents there and stuff on junior hockey in the forum. I mean, I know among the coaches it's very negative on the forum. What's it like?
Well, I think it should be said that there's more than just the high school forum, too. There's also a girls forum, and there's a youth hockey forum as well. And so it's kind of funny, like the youth hockey people kind of then graduate to the high school forum too. And so then
grow up with it.
Yeah, people grow up with the forum. And so it's a fun way to talk trash and like and just have fun with it. And it's a good way to describe it keeps the state connected because then it lets me know what's going on in Duluth with some people like the Slammer and stuff like that. And it keeps me informed of those teams.
And you get a little bit of everyone. You get every possible opinion.
Oh, yeah. Everybody has – every school has a personality on the forum. And that's what's fun about it is, like, there might be, like, some people bashing on St. Thomas, but there's also people backing St. Thomas as well.
Mm-hmm. In general, though, going back to the original question, I mean, do you feel like people get uppity about junior hockey, or because you have parents in there with, you know, their kids?
Like juniors?
Yeah, USHL, stuff like that.
I think when Alec Bear left, there was a good thread going on about that. But I think every year when the when we post, like, kids who leave, too, like, who's not returning, there's always a thread on that. And that's been a thread for the last 4 years, I want to say.
Yeah, and you get some heated debates, and there are people very strongly on both sides.
Yeah, I think that's very much the case. And it's just true about the whole state. I think that's what the forum's nice about, is it's kind of a pulse on the state at the time with how everything's going.
Carl, where do you stand on junior hockey? I mean, we talked about this. It's not as though the tournament's been ruined. At the same time, I understand that there's some people that would love to see everyone stay 4 years and see that kid again, you know, who did well in the tournament.
I mean, I think I'm fairly realistic about it. I mean, kids are going to do what they're going to do. And so, you know, people will leave. And for the most part, I'm fine with that. I mean, you have to do what's best for yourself. But
yeah.
And I think, I certainly have my personal belief that by staying in high school, you can probably develop in most situations as well as you could anywhere else, but if you put in the work. But at the same time, the same path. Not everyone can take the same path.
Yeah, and I think even your school has lost players. Derek Forbear left.
Plenty, yeah.
I mean, good players leave at every school, and it doesn't matter who you are. Yeah, every program kind of affects it, but every player develops differently.
And
too.
You just hope that, it's the kid's decision, and it's in his best interest. It's not, the parents pushing them one way, not the college coach or the high school coach, putting too much pressure on them one direction.
Yeah. And as we had talked before, the worst decision as far as juniors is an uninformed decision and a decision that is made quickly and for the wrong reasons. And so I think juniors are good for some people, bad for others. Yeah. And that's just the way it is.
But I think, as we saw with this tournament this year, though, it doesn't matter how many people leave early. I mean,
no,
it's
still going
to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Sometimes creates opportunities for other players.
Exactly.
Too.
I mean,
yeah, it lets people move into roles that they wouldn't have had if some people had stayed.
Yeah, look at the Edina team. I mean,
yeah.
Losing Zilsdorf and
Bellows
right away, and then get a kid like Clayton Phillips who comes up to varsity, has a great year.
And then you get to see a superstar in the making, Phillips,
exactly,
as well.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts? I know we've asked that probably like 13 times, but there's a lot to talk about.
No, I think this is probably the end of the season, end of the road for this year on the podcast, but I couldn't have ended it on a better note.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks again, Carl, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, we'll have to have you again next year for sure.
I'd be happy to, yeah.
So for Danny Ryan and Carl, I'm not even going to try your last name because I don't want to swear at
you. Carl East.
Carl East. I'm Tom Schreier. This has been 105 The Tickets High School Hockey Podcast from Cold Omaha. Thanks for listening.
This has been Sports Radio 105 The Ticket's High School Hockey Podcast with Tom Schreier and Danny Ryan. New shows posted weekly on 105theticket.com.